This is The Inner Page, a program designed to bring you the information you once found on the inner pages of your daily newspapers. We will have conversations with the local service providers, business owners, elected officials, community leaders, and our neighbors who will share information about the events and needed services they provide to our communities that make our lives better each day. This is another edition of The Inner Page. I am your host, Alan Wagner. Joining me today is my co-host, Susan Blake. And I'll ask her to introduce to the our very special guest today and a very important topic for today's conversation. Susan?
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Hope you had a great weekend. The weather was beautiful, and it's going to continue for the next few days, so we're going to take advantage of it, I hope, and get out there and see the leaves starting to change and talk about change. Life changes. And I have two lovely ladies. We have two lovely ladies with us today that are going to talk about dementia and some of the things related to it. They are with a foundation called Clear Thoughts. It's Clear Thoughts Foundation. So those of you that are listening, if you have loved ones, friends, relatives, or yourself, and you are experiencing any of the symptoms or any of the problems, or just suspect that you may have a problem or going into a problem that is maybe borderline dementia, please, please pay attention. Or if you know someone that needs some pertinent information, get a hold of them real quick before we really get into the show so they can listen. We will have them give their contact information, and a little later on they're going to give us information on a fundraiser they are hosting. But right now I'm going to have them introduce themselves and tell us who they are and what they do within the foundation. Go ahead, ladies, whoever wants to go first.
Thank you so much, Susan. I thank both you and Alan for having us on. We always welcome an opportunity to tell our story and to educate people about what dementia is and what can be done to hopefully prevent it from causing so much misery and pain that the disease does. So we appreciate the time on air. Again, I'm Haley Jamison. I'm founder and president of Clear Thoughts, and I'm with Kate Finella, who you will hear from shortly. She's our executive director. So as far as the story of Clear Thoughts, it's a story that unfortunately millions of people across the world are familiar with. From a foundation standpoint, it started, which I think many foundations do start that way, from a broken heart. I lost my father to dementia on Christmas Day 2013. Yes. People tend to have the same reaction that Susan just did here. But for those that are listening that know of dementia, you can realize, as terrible as this sounds, it actually was, as I told my children who were quite young at the time, that it was really the best Christmas present one could ask for. My father was very sick and would not have wanted to be on this earth in the condition that he was. So for those that have unfortunately experienced dementia, which again are millions of folks out there, you perhaps understand that despite it being a unpleasant holiday to lose a loved one, it was truly a blessing and again, a gift, knowing that he was no longer suffering. So, but as far as Clear Thoughts, so again, I thank you for having us. We welcome the opportunity to tell our story. So as I mentioned, our story started with my father. It was back in 2003, 2004. He was actually in his mid-60s. And I think one of the problems with dementia is that it often is undiagnosed or misunderstood. I think people tend to view dementia as happening to those that are uneducated or not physically fit, et cetera, et cetera. I've heard all types of horrible innuendos and assumptions about those that get dementia. But my father was, you know, again, admittedly biased as daddy's little girl, right? but he was a marathon runner, U.S. Steel executive, handsome, educated, personable, life of the party. And we started to see signs of behavioral changes. And again, much like many of those that I'm sure are listening, our story of dementia is very common in that it took a long time to get proper diagnosis. We went through a series of psychiatrists, psychologists, et cetera, and finally got the diagnosis of FTD. And I'm dating myself for your listeners out there, but the only thing I knew of, if you guys remember, the floral delivery company by the name of FTD. So unfortunately, it has nothing to do with flowers. It stands for frontal temporal dementia, and it's one form of dementia. There are quite a few, which we'll talk about throughout the next hour. Certainly, it's gotten a little bit more notoriety, so to speak, with the recent news of Bruce Willis and going back a few years, Robin Williams. But they're all different forms of dementia. My father had, again, what's called frontal lobe dementia, FTD. And after that diagnosis, as I said, it took many years, probably 3 or 4 years to get that diagnosis. He was diagnosed at age 65. And a textbook for FTD is 7 years, and he lived exactly 7 years. And to say that those 7 years were horrific is an understatement. My mother and father had the love and marriage that people grow up dreaming of. I know I dreamed of it growing up. They met in elementary school. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing, isn't it, Alan? Yeah, sure. No doubt. So they had a love that is... unfortunately, too rare in today's world. So it was devastating, of course, for myself and my brother, who was co-founder along with a dear friend of Clear Thoughts. But my brother and I were obviously at a loss of how to help my mother and how to help ourselves and friends and family and his work colleagues. One of the things about dementia, too, is, as with a lot of diseases, but particularly dementia, it's not just about the person that has dementia. It affects the entire family. So it was a horrific 7-year run. And we quickly discovered that there were not viable options out there, right? Which, in a nutshell, is what started Clear Thoughts. Being a personality, as they say, my husband says I'm A-plus personality. When the diagnosis came around, I said, Mom, don't worry. Like, whatever we have to do, we'll do. Like, if I have to get on a plane and fly overseas to get medicine or some type of therapeutic or whatever the case may be, we'll do it. But we quickly discovered there were just not viable drugs or therapeutics on the market that made a difference. In fact, the few that we tried, unfortunately, had a reverse effect on him. And so it was, again, a very devastating, somewhat of a, as they say, a death sentence, knowing that you're just watching your loved one decline day by day. And we quickly discovered that the reason that there aren't viable options at that time, and unfortunately, even today, as you'll hear, so many years later, there still aren't very successful options out there. It's due to a lack of funding. So in a nutshell, that's how Clear Thoughts started. I said to myself, okay, hey, how can I help make this situation better? And really, the way to do that is to help bring more viable drugs and therapeutics to market. And the way that that will happen is through more funding. So hence the start of Clear Thoughts Foundation.
Okay. For our listeners out there who are not already familiar with dementia, can you provide some background to what it is? And since I went through this also with my father, I really didn't understand. And basically, I was a senior researcher at Pitt in physiology. And I said, no, that I didn't see him enough. I wasn't there with him every day. He was in Tennessee. He would come home to visit. And my sister would complain about what he was doing. But when he was with us, he seemed normal. But explain some of these things to us, please.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, Alan. Well, that's a great question and some great points that you've raised there. I think it's important first for really everybody to understand and for us to start educating individuals about what dementia really is, right? And I think there's a lot of misconception and people don't really understand that dementia is actually describing a collection of symptoms that are happening to somebody's brain, right?
Okay.
So within that, right, there are then multiple different disease forms that, depending on where they are in somebody's brain, affect what their symptoms are going to be differently, right? So the most common form of dementia is obviously Alzheimer's disease, which everybody is familiar with, right?
Yes.
And we associate that with memory, right? Because the part of the brain that Alzheimer's disease takes place in is actually impacting and affecting our memory, right? But as Haley mentioned, there's all sorts of different forms. There's actually over 100 different types of forms of dementia that all affect different parts of our brain, right?
Sure.
FTD that Haley's father had, right? That affects the frontal temporal lobe of your brain, which affects speech and affects cognitive behavior and affects somebody's personality, which is not something that as a society we associate with dementia. So we don't often recognize it early on, right? Because we're just left thinking, well what's happening
to
mom or dad or our sister or brother or our spouse, right?
So when there's a diagnosis of dementia, we're painting with a broad brush.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. We're almost painting too broad, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think too, a lot of that misunderstanding then leads to other common misconceptions such as that dementia is, you know, a disease that only happens to individuals that are much older, right? And what we're seeing is that that's not true at all, right? It's happening to individuals at a younger and younger and younger age, so young that I believe it was, I want to say at the beginning of last year, there was a gentleman diagnosed with dementia at the age of 19 over in China.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is not your, you know, grandparents' disease, quote unquote, anymore, right? This is something that's spreading across and affecting generations at a time.
People expect that, and the term was senile. They're getting senile, which is not a term we use today.
Sure, yeah, absolutely not. And doesn't really even begin to touch or explain correctly the depth of the impact of what this disease can have, not only on the individual that's suffering from it, but as Haley mentioned, also the family members that are going through it, you know, with the individual themselves. So I think it's important for individuals to understand that and know that about the dementia as a whole, right? That it's actually describing symptoms, and that there's multiple different disease forms that can fall within the term dementia.
Sure, that's really interesting. What is the scope of impact of dementia within our world today?
I think simply put, Alan, the one word that could answer that question is devastating. The numbers continue to rise. And I think I just wanted to touch upon the point that you just made too, Alan, that I think historically people tend to have accepted dementia as part of aging. You know, their hair goes gray, their knee hurts, they get dementia. And it is...
I earned this gray hair. Right?
Hey, I have a few myself, my friend. So, but the reality is, it is not a natural process of aging. We always say, you know, go talk to the woman down the street or that you know from the grocery store who's 94 and sharp as a tack. So there is evidence right there, right, that it is not a natural process of aging. It is no different than cancer or the other diseases that with proper research, which of course takes proper funding, a cure can be found. So as far as the impact, you know, I just wanted to share a couple statistics here. Dementia is, in fact, the only top 10 cause of death in the U.S. that currently cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed. And again, folks, I think, don't realize that the numbers of people that we're talking about worldwide, every 3 seconds, a person is diagnosed with dementia. Every 3 seconds. Yeah, staggering, right? Right now, it's estimated that 52 million people are living with dementia worldwide, and it's projected to increase to 75 million by 2030. Alzheimer's disease itself is the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S., and again, that's just one type of dementia, right? That in the cost of dementia, too, people obviously talk about the financial cost, which, again, some statistics there, right? The yearly estimated cost to treat and support dementia-related issues is currently $604 billion with a B. Yes, unbelievable statistics, right? According to the NIH, which is the National Institute of Health, dementia costs currently rival those of cancer and heart diseases. But unfortunately, the problem is that dementia receives 1/6 the funding of cancer. So again, it's not proportionate with the number of folks that are battling and dying from the disease compared to other leading causes of death. It's truly astronomical, the difference between the ratio of those that are struggling and the amount that is funded for research, again, compared to cancer or the other leading causes of death. It's truly staggering. And I think the one point, too, that I want to add, in addition to, of course, the financial problems caused by dementia and the fact that the caretakers often have to leave their job or they lose their job because they're not able to balance both, and of course the person themselves, so the financial devastation is astronomical.
It's off the charts.
Yes,
it
correct
really is.
But really, outside of the financial devastation, I mean, this is where, you know, I get sappy and emotional as, again, daddy's little girl, right? That the emotional impact that it has, not only on the immediate family, but on generations. I mean, my children never had the opportunity to get to know their grandfather. They have very few memories of him before he got sick. So their memories of him are being ill, and you're losing generations of wisdom and traditions and knowledge. And again, as Kate shared too, it's not just, you know, for the elderly. We lost a friend last year who was 44. Our entire board of Clear Thoughts, everybody has had a personal loss to dementia, and most of them were all under 60.
That's mind-boggling. Wow.
If I could just add one thing to that, too. I think, you know, it's something that, in my experience, right, it's something that I've found that everybody thinks that it's not going to happen to them. However, so I'm proud to say that I've been with Clear Thoughts for a little bit over 4.5 years. And, you know, when I first started and we'd go into a room and we'd ask individuals, you know, hey, how many of you have been affected by a loved one that has dementia? Raise your hand, right? That's and a right. couple of hands would go up, right? Mm-hmm. And since in the 4.5 years that I've been with the foundation, when you do the same exercise in a room of people, everyone's hands go up. So this is something that is, as Haley pointed out, it is rising at a rapid pace, and people think that it's not going to impact them. And it's, you know, sadly, it's going to be impacting all of us here in the next few years.
You know what's interesting? It dawns on me that the other modalities of death, cardiac arrest, cancer, they're not expected. But people expect people as they age to become forgetful, have the symptoms.
Exactly, Alan. And that's one of the areas that we try to educate people about, that it's not something that should be expected
exactly.
or even accepted, right? It is something that as society, we need to educate ourselves on and also rise up and fight against it, right? Fundraise so that we can get the money to the doctors to find cures, be it drugs, be it therapeutics. There are a number of options out there. And we have brilliant folks, even that Clear Thoughts funds, and folks throughout the world that are working on it now, but we need more people working on it, and we need more
Absolutely.
Funding. It should not be accepted. And to your point, Alan, unfortunately, people do tend to accept it as natural, right?
Like he said, the senileness.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the reality, too, is, you know, your great-grandmother who can't find her keys at age 104 is quite different than a 40, 50, 60-year-old man who is no longer able to feed himself or talk or get out of bed or walk. And that's really what people need to understand about dementia, is it's not a natural process.
And
so,
I'm so glad you're bringing that up with the age, because in the work that I do going into nursing facilities and out with the home health agency that I work for, it is common to go in and see the poor little old people sitting in the wheelchairs with their heads down and looking up with a blank stare, like, who are you? Or not even cognitive of who anybody is. And that's normal. But what you just said about the 40-year-old, I don't think a lot of people even get it, or they're not being educated. So that is why this is so vitally important, because most people, if you would say something about someone with dementia, right away their brain would go to, oh, they have to be in their 80s, 90s. And I was the first one that noticed my dad. He was declining with diabetes and kidney failure and had to go on dialysis. And I noticed the mental decline start. And I went out and I got him supplements. I went to GNC and bought their quote unquote best brain supplement. And, you know, they all thought I was nuts, but I spent so much time with him while this was happening to him, because everybody, my sister owns the companies, everybody's really, you know, was so busy, and I had the time to do it. And 2 weeks, I noticed a difference. We noticed a difference in my dad, and he was still declining when he did pass, but I can relate to your story, because he was the director of Allegheny County Adult Probation and Parole, extremely brilliant, extremely talented and handsome, like you said, your dad. I mean, we thought he could walk on water. You know, him and my mom were just two of the, she's still alive and doing great at 94. She's amazing, but, she's 92. Dear God, she's going to hear this and say, Susan,
you're in trouble again.
I'm in trouble now, but I keep her on supplements.
You're aging her. She will
yes.
not be happy.
But if you looked at her, you'd think she was no more than 80. She's amazing. But anyway, I digress. Let's get back to what we're talking about.
I do have a thought. When people start becoming symptomatic, we have a term for it. They're having a senior moment.
Yeah. See, all these things. You're absolutely right, Alan. The senility, the senior moments. And people don't associate that the dementia with young people, and I think that's a big part of why they're not being funded correctly, and that's heartbreaking. That's absolutely heartbreaking.
100%, Susan. And often, too, it's not only misunderstood, but it's also undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. So many folks that are struggling with dementia, people will write them off saying, oh, they're, you know, they're having some mental health issues, or they're drinking, or they're this,
yes,
or they're that, right?
Yes,
so
you're right.
It's a disease that's often, again, either misdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all. And if you go back in time, even more so, right? Like, for instance, with my family, we say that my father was the first one that had dementia. But the reality is, looking back, some of his relatives may have as well, and they just weren't diagnosed. Because again, it can certainly be masked through other diseases and situational
or
events,
problems,
right?
With
correct.
Alcohol or
right.
drugs
absolutely.
Or something
100%.
Which could accelerate it.
Yes,
absolutely. I mean, that's all affecting the brain. What I want you to tell us about right now is the fun break, the fun breaking, the, fun, the oh, see,
oh,
see how
Monday.
That happens.
No, that's a Monday
the
thing.
Breakthrough drugs and the different things that are out there to give people some hope. I want you guys to touch on some of the symptoms, so people can be aware that are not. If you want to go into that, and if you don't, that's okay. They need to, at least if they're seeing something odd or different, or like we were saying, oh, they're this or oh, they're that. There's a lot of people that need help, and they need it yesterday. And so we're really hoping this is going to touch people to, you know, go to the fundraisers, donate, whatever the case may be. But give us some of the breakthroughs that are happening.
Sure, absolutely. So just to take a step back, just for listeners out there so they understand CTS trajectory and sort of where we've gotten to where we've come with the researchers that we're funding. So prior to 2020, CTF had funded individuals on what they call a one-to-one research model, which is a very traditional research model where we would give one grant out to one researcher, right? They would complete the intended project goals, and then we'd obviously review the research and, work to continue funding, right? And so as we started to look at adding additional researchers to that, right, and having some different conversations with individuals at University of Pittsburgh and UPMC, we started to realize that really part of the problem of why, research is very slowed in this field, right, and Alzheimer's disease research has been going on for approximately, a little bit over 50 years, and there hasn't been much that has been brought to market, right? And so part of the problem that we realized is that there's really, it's very siloed. There's really no communication between researchers. And you can have researchers right down the hall from one another working on treatments that are very similarly molecularly based, right? And they don't share a word of what they're doing. They don't share lab resources. They don't share equipment. So hence the very high costs, right?
I was in that world. You're absolutely correct.
Right. I was going to say, Alan, so like I said, hence the high cost and the slowed progression. So we had identified that and we said, hey, well, why don't we come up with a model, right? A collaborative cohort that brings researchers together, has them utilize sharing their findings, sharing their equipments, sharing some of their models to not only, right, save money and allow our funded dollars, right, to go further and make a further impact, but also to accelerate research at a faster pace. So that's exactly what we did. So we created the CTF Consortium, and we launched it in 2020, and we are funding three just brilliant individuals. They are all a part of University of Pittsburgh and UPMC. The first one is Dr. Robert Freelander. The second is Dr. Oscar Lopez, and the third is Dr. Amantha Thathia. And all three of them have their own niches of what they're working on, right? So Dr. Robert Freelander is actually, he calls himself a cell death guy. So he's studying cell death in the brain, right? Which leads to dementia. And he's looking at how the common sleep aid drug, melatonin, which we're all very familiar with, can actually slow that progression of cell death therefore slowing the progression of dementia, right?
See, so very interesting most stuff, right? Would never even
right, correct. So he's
know.
Exactly right. A common sleep aid drug, and he's looking at, hey, you know, how much, what's the proper dosage, right, to be able to help slow that death progression, and how
that
much should somebody
is
take
amazing
it, and how
to me,
absolutely. So it's stuff that. People usually aren't thinking of, right? It's something that, like, nobody usually would think of melatonin as something that might prevent this, right? But it is a viable treatment that we're looking
wow.
at that has shown promising results
wow.
to do that, right?
That's
so
amazing.
So that's one amazing, you know, avenue that our researchers are looking at. Dr. Oscar Lopez is actually looking at plasmapheresis, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with that term, but it's actually the cleaning of your blood. So it's the cleaning of the plasma in your blood, and it cleans out tau and bad plaques that a lot of people have theories that they believe that actually leads to the cause
That's
of Alzheimer's
we were
disease.
Talking about,
right.
Yeah.
So you would clean the blood, then put it back in, right? And it would obviously help less accumulation of those bad plaques, right? So that's another
that
treatment area that
alone,
we're funding and looking at.
I've heard different things about that, and it is supposed to be phenomenal, not just for what we're talking about, but for other diseases and sicknesses.
Sure, absolutely.
And everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's used for a number of diseases currently.
You
yep.
have, I mean, water filters clean the water.
Sure.
We clean things in our house. Why? That makes perfect sense to clean out our blood, because there's so much crap going in our bodies on a daily basis, whether we put it in or
sure.
you know, the air we breathe or the
right.
food we
or we
eat.
Miss a couple nights of sleep and our brain doesn't
yes.
have the ability to clean that out, right, when we miss a couple nights of sleep. So
which I do, so I
right,
can relate.
Right, I think all of us
age,
have gone
yeah,
some sleepless
I'm,
nights.
I'm having those days.
That's not
absolutely.
A problem to me. I learned to sleep everywhere when I was a medical youngster. But it's very interesting that my dissertation was on cognitive processing and physical fitness. My cohorts was on cognitive processing and physical activity. So we ran data sets of students at East Allegheny, and that was interesting. But just the research, just the things that you have to do and time it takes to do any human subject research is amazing, which goes back to the Nuremberg trials, basically, and getting signed off for parents. I had them read everything we were doing and sign every sheet and date it as before they would give us permission to do anything. And that was just simply taking a physical fitness test and working on a computer in a program we brought out of the UK on cognitive processing. So let's go back to
sure.
Alzheimer's. This is extremely interesting
yes.
to me.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely something that I'm not sure that the layman, I know myself prior to working for the foundation, I'm ashamed to say, but I didn't have a great concept of dementia and what it was and its impact across society, right?
Unless they're
actually yeah.
sure,
yeah.
And I mean, I certainly didn't have a concept as to how you know, tedious and how long some of this research can take, right?
Absolutely.
Which is par for the course, right? I understand why that's the case, but I don't think the general public has a great understanding of that. And you know, that's another thing that it's helpful to educate people on that they know. And then lastly, I just want to make sure that, you know, we mention our third researcher that we're funding, Dr. Amantha Thathia, who is actually looking at, we're going to talk about here in a minute or two, some of the new drugs that have been brought to market, but she's actually looking at tau and some of the amyloid beta protein.
What is tau?
So that's a protein that builds okay. up in your brain, a negative protein that you don't want in your brain, right? And so she's looking at the ways that it actually interacts with amyloid beta and how those two aggregate one another, which is
sure.
is a fancy term for saying they aggravate each other and then they just create more and more and more.
Chaos.
And so, right, exactly. So she's looking at, you know, how does that work? How do those two interact? And then why are they doing it? And what can we introduce to prevent that from happening, to prevent that continual
build-up? I want to give
you
some statistics that are important to your research and what you do. Right now, our population is about 30% people over 50. In 7 years, it's going to be 33.5% of people over 50. So as we age and put all, as Susan mentioned, all the things in our body that are not good for it, your research or this research you're trying to fund is extremely important, especially at the University of Pittsburgh. Hey, listen, we got the polio vaccine when I was a kid from the University of Pittsburgh. So, you know, there's a lot of research going on at the university.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, I always say this too, we're very blessed to be located where we are, and we're blessed to be in Pittsburgh because we have some amazing access to research and to basically research for dementia. So,
well, and I just wanted to add on along those lines as well. Not only are we blessed, as Kate mentioned, to be here in Pittsburgh, but I believe that the model we've come up with as CTF Consortium is so unique in the market because, as we talked about and Kate mentioned, and Alan, I think you chimed in on as well, because it is so easy to see how siloed the medical industry is, particularly research. I mean, again, all three of the doctors that we're funding are all within, two of them are in the same building, right? And the other one's just a couple miles down the street. And prior to CTF creating the CTF Consortium, they were not working together. And part of the requirement, so to speak, of being part of the CTF Consortium is that they collaborate and that they work together and they share their findings. Dr. Thathia is working very closely with Dr. Friedlander, and the benefit of that is that when one progresses, they can all progress, yes, which therefore means we as a society can progress quicker and hopefully get to a cure quicker. I mean, Alan, you mentioned polio, right? I often mention, be it polio or AIDS, but these are all terrible diseases throughout the world that have been cured, right? So I'm very hopeful that through the work that we're doing at CTF Consortium, that other families out there do not have to experience what my family experienced. I mean, I promised my father literally on his deathbed that I would fight for the rest of my life to raise money so that families don't have to experience that, because it should not be accepted. It's not a natural process
of
aging.
You're absolutely right. So, you're absolutely right.
All right, I'll get off my soapbox.
But I'm very passionate. Yes, we want to ask you about the new drugs. You mentioned you were going to highlight that, and we're definitely interested in hearing about that.
I am, yes. Thank you, Susan. It's definitely a hot topic right now, and I'm excited to share a little bit more about, you know, what we've learned about them over the past couple years since they've started to come out. So the three new drugs that have come out are monoclonal antibodies that specifically were designed to treat Alzheimer's disease. So these are not effective on any other form of dementia. They're only made for Alzheimer's disease. And I'm gonna do my best here to say all three names, which you'd think they name them something simpler, right?
You would think.
But so the three that have been released are aducanumab, lecanemab, and donanemab, which the first two have actually been renamed now for selling on the market, right? So the first one's named Aduhelm, and the second one is named Leqembi. But for purposes of this conversation, let's just call them
these weird names.
Susan, I find it so odd that, you know, as Kate just shared, they have the scientific name and then they renamed them for like the market drug. I'm like, could they not have done a better job renaming them? Because even the rename names are hard.
Some of them are worse.
Yes, exactly.
100. It took me about a month to be able to figure out how to say those.
Boy, you're doing it well.
I'm glad you did, because I wouldn't be able to do it.
All right. So the interesting part about these three, right, and they've taken a lot of heat. I don't know how much you've been able to read about them, but they've definitely taken a lot of heat because so their efficacy, the way that it's rated, is actually on an 18-point scale. And what the results have shown out of these drug trials is that while they have slowed the progression, they actually were only able to slow progression by using this 18-point scale by less than 1 point. So all three of these are showing progression at a 0.27 to 0.6 range, which, okay, so that's very scientifically, and most of us won't really understand what that means, right? So what that's saying is, realistically, that's probably only a couple months of a slow decline, which a loved one really wouldn't notice, and probably the individual battling, you know, the form of dementia as well wouldn't notice, right?
So it's a start.
It is, exactly. It absolutely is a start, Alan. That's what I was going to say. So there are a lot of hot button topics around these three drugs that people want to bash them, right? And they're not perfect, right? They're very expensive. They're hard to get covered by Medicare. You have to go somewhere to get them administered. So even if you get them covered by Medicare, there's going to be out-of-pocket costs,
sure,
to the individual that are,
sure,
very high, right? We're talking like $5,000 to $7,000, right? That's a lot for some individuals. So they definitely have a lot of problems, but I agree with you 100%, Alan. They're a start, and they're showing hope, and they're showing movement in a field that truthfully hasn't had any movement in the 50-plus years of research that's been happening, right? So I think it's definitely a great start. I think it gives a lot of people some light. I think it gives the field as well a starting point, and it says that, hey, you know, the research that's been done on amyloid beta plaques and tau, there's validity in that because they're starting to be able to actually slow that progression, right? So it's showing that the one of the main models of Alzheimer's disease research over the past 50 plus years is, you know, we're now starting to see advancements there. So that's really exciting. And, I think that I know our researchers believe this, and I'm sure that there are many that believe this as well. It's not going to be one solution that comes to market for individuals to solve this problem. It's going to be a cocktail and a marrying of multiple different treatments and potentially multiple different drugs, right? So we have to stop thinking
because
so singularly about this.
There's multiple dementia types.
Sure. Yeah.
So that would make perfect sense. One would work for one and maybe not for the other.
Sure.
And that's why, you know, just the fact that those doctors are working together.
Exactly.
And possibly one, experiences a breakthrough on this particular
sure.
dementia. And then the other one that's been working on something else. And then they're able to say, well, maybe this drug will work together or it won't work at all for two different types. This is fascinating because the brain is fascinating. And I think, to be honest with you, part of my thought process when you were saying about no movement for the most part,
sure.
I think people were afraid. Because the brain is so complex that I think there was a lot of fear there if they start messing with the brain. You know, what are they going to do? Now, you have the ones on the outskirts that are messing with their brains with the psychedelics and the
sure,
drugs and
sure.
everything. But when it comes down
sure.
to actual medical people
sure.
doing that, I mean, you had, like I said, you had the outskirts and you had some of the bad guys that were doing it. But when it come down to good, honest doctors that really want to do something, I think there was a lot of fear because they didn't even want to tell you to take vitamins, you know,
sure.
for it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, and I think you wanted to, when should someone become fearful or concerned about a relative or somebody?
Good, when seeing something. Or
seeing something,
yeah.
And we don't want to say that they will have dementia, but when somebody comes symptomatic.
Some of the signs, some of the different things to look for maybe, or to alert you to, hey, you know, so-and-so and so, like, you know, mom or dad or uncle, aunt, something, because a lot of it gets missed. Do you want to touch on that a little bit? People may need
sure.
to hear some of that.
So Kate and I are both looking at each other to figure out who's going to answer that question.
Neither myself or Haley are medical professionals.
Right.
So
no.
I want to make sure
know
that that's
that.
Stated.
We
that,
know that.
That
but doing what
that.
You do, you have to know some
for
of these.
For sure. Absolutely.
Sure.
And yes. All teasing aside, because we were looking at each other like, all right, who's going to take this one?
I know. I saw
and
it.
I think the reason that we were hesitant to answer, I mean, as Kate mentioned, we don't have a medical background by any means, but also because, as we talked about earlier, it is such a difficult disease to diagnose, right?
Yes.
So, you know, the 21-year-old, right, that is excited to go to the bar for the first time and is trying to find their car keys and they can't find them, right? Does everybody panic? Oh, maybe it's early onset or whatnot, right? Or the 50-year-old that forgot about their appointment, right? I'm not pointing any fingers at myself, of course, but I mean, again, whether it's 20, 50, or 80, it can be very difficult because there's obviously day-to-day stresses that cause us all to forget different things or to get confused or whatever the case. So I think that the question is very difficult to answer, which goes back to what we were saying earlier, that it's often misdiagnosed or undiagnosed. My personal non-medical opinion is if you see repeated behavior time after time that you can notice a pattern, right? So if you miss an appointment or lose your keys or whatever the case may be, which again happens to all of us. I mean, if we look at the room we're in now, right, we're all different ages and we all have had those things happen, right? It doesn't mean that we're, you know, walking into the door of a dementia diagnosis. However, if you notice that behavior day after day, week after week, I would certainly advise that you get some medical attention and advice from professionals. So I would not be hesitant. I think, again, unfortunately, a lot of people are hesitant because there's a stigma associated with it, which it should not be, right? If somebody is worried that they have cancer, people aren't like, oh, well, you know, don't tell anybody.
Exactly.
Right? But for some reason, there's a negative stigma associated with dementia, which is one of the things that we're very passionate about.
It goes
about.
With mental illness,
right.
too.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Anything to do with mental illness, dementia, the brain,
right.
there is a stigma.
For sure.
And how do you get people to stop thinking that way? It's so difficult because it has been ingrained in us for a long, long time.
100%. And I think, as I often say, I would not wish dementia upon my worst enemy. But the fact that there have been some celebrities, you know, quote unquote, Hollywood celebrities that have come forward and shared. You
recently,
may have noticed
yeah.
Emma Willis, Bruce Willis's wife, just did a special on how she's dealing with being a care partner. If you guys happen to have noticed the interview or saw it on TV, and the fact that she's sharing her story and that other people are sharing their stories in the spotlight, and the release of the three new drugs, right? I mean, I tend to go along with the belief in that case that even bad press, because there has been some bad press with the drugs, but it's at least getting people talking. It's giving them hope, and it's allowing conversation for a topic that is often not discussed and not shared publicly. So when people have symptoms, right, they're not afraid to say, hey, maybe something's wrong. Maybe I should go seek out help or share it with
or
a loved
say
one.
Say something and to someone.
Correct.
Yeah,
say, hey,
to
mom, hey, dad, hey, husband, hey,
yeah.
wife, hey, son. I mean, I have a friend whose son is struggling with dementia.
Oh, my God.
Yes, again, early, in his 40s. So the idea that people should not be ashamed to talk about it. And in worst case scenario, you get some professional medical help and they say, hey, he's just a little bit forgetful. There's no signs of dementia. Great news.
Exactly.
But don't be afraid to go to a doctor to seek professional advice. And
good advice. Good advice.
Yes.
Okay. What I want to do is segue to your fundraiser. Time's starting to run out, which is, it always happens. It always happens. And we could go another hour over this because this is so important. We need you to put out your contact information. You could do that before and after you talk about the fundraiser.
Sure. So individuals can, you know, listeners out there can learn more about us by going to our website, clearthoughtsfoundation.org. There is a plethora of information there. While we are laser focused on allocating our funding towards research, we do the best job that we can to provide as many resources as we can for individuals. You know, as well as we also have our CTF podcast, which is newly released, and we have two episodes that we've done, one with our founders who have shared on their story and the start of Clear Thoughts Foundation, as well as one with our chief scientific advisor, Dr. Carl Harrop, who, if listeners out there are enjoying this conversation and want to learn more about the research itself, that is a great episode to listen to because it's very scientific and it's very in-depth. So for the scientific mind, that's your episode. But yeah, absolutely. Certainly people can get in touch with us as well on various social media platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. We try and make it as easy as we can for individuals to connect with us. People can sign up for our mailing list through our website. We have all sorts of various events throughout the year that we hold that individuals can learn more about on our website as well. And then we also have, as you mentioned, Susan, our largest fundraiser of the year coming up, our annual Roll for a Reason Gala, which is an amazing, amazing fun time. I'm going to pass it to Haley Dave.
Ooh, I get to talk about the fun stuff. I love that. I just wanted to add, I know we're running short on time, but I just wanted to give a shout out to my co-founders, my brother Matthew Jameson and Sharon Sipple. Both have been instrumental to get Clear Thoughts to where we are today. We actually started the foundation back in 2010. My father was still with us at that time, and we knew that unfortunately, it would most likely not benefit his life, which it did not. But as I mentioned before, we made a promise to try to fight this ugly disease so that other families do not suffer what we had to suffer for many, many years. But so a shout out to the co-founders as well as to our amazing board. We have 17 folks. As I also mentioned earlier, all 17 folks have been personally affected by dementia. And they are truly just wonderful people that are very passionate about making a difference. All 17 board members, myself included, are all volunteers. We all have full-time jobs outside of Clear Thoughts. Kate, who you've heard from today, our brilliant and wonderful executive director, is our only full-time employee. So we welcome volunteers to come and join us in our fight. We welcome donors that are passionate about ending this disease. And we are always willing and wanting to talk to whoever has an interest in dementia. So with that said, dun-da-da, roll for a reason. Yes, it is coming up on Saturday, November 4th. It is always the first Saturday in November, and it's held on the South Side at a wonderful studio by the name of The Jane. And most of you probably know of The Jane through years in the past when it was called Verno's. So if those listeners out there are familiar with Jay Verno Studio, it's now called The Jane. But it is a fabulous, best-kept secret in Pittsburgh. If you haven't been there, I think it's the best venue in Pittsburgh, and it is a fabulous night. We have about 400 of Pittsburgh executives there, and the evening is full of all types of surprises. We have magic, live music, performance artists, open bar, wonderful food, and truly an evening that is unlike any others. I go to lots of charity events, and certainly they are hard to pull off, and I am immensely proud of the one that we have put together over the years. So I'll have Kate tell you a little bit more, but that's
Give us the address and some phone numbers in case somebody needs to call and how to get involved.
Sure, certainly. Yeah. So tickets, general admission tickets, as well as sponsorships are currently available for purchase on our website. So if anybody goes there, they can go under the events tab. Roll for a Reason Gala has its own page and can look through all the information there, learn about pricing. Certainly any Pittsburgh businesses out there who want a great way to network and want a great way to reward colleagues and employees and woo clients, right? It's a great opportunity to do so. And we would, welcome the opportunity for any Pittsburgh businesses to sponsor that event itself. And just a shout out to our first ever presenting sponsor, Sipple Development, for their amazing, amazing support. We're so excited to have them back with us this year and in this way. In general, attendees that come and even for individuals that might not be able to make it, we also have an online auction that will go live Wednesday, November 1st. Wow. So if you can't make it out, jump on our website and you can check out some amazing auction items there available for bid. You can obviously win something awesome and support a great cause, right? And then for individuals that can attend, we'll have a silent auction there, live auctions of all sorts of amazing prizes, anything from trips to bourbon to country clubs.
That's awesome. That sounds like a great time.
Before we end here, I'm going to invite you on the program again next year to schedule. For the simple reason, we'll be on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. But the interesting thing is, hopefully, you'll have more information and more research you can share with the listening public.
Absolutely. Well, we would be honored to it and can't thank you both enough, Alan and Susan, for your time and for allowing us to come on and share more about the Clear Thoughts Foundation and our mission to fund the fight against dementia.
Well, this has been fascinating. Thank you.
I, too, thank you. And I believe we may have mentioned the website, but one more time, it's clearthoughtsfoundation.org. Again, that's clearthoughtsfoundation.org. If you'd like to talk with us directly, our phone number is
412-407-7170.
Hope to see all of you on November 4th. And again, thank you so much, Susan and Alan, for having us on. We appreciate the opportunity to share our story.
This would have been a great conversation. I thank you also. Thank you for joining us on today's edition of The Inner Page. Join us again next Monday at 9 a.m. on 620 KHB, also on 92.3, 94.1, and 102.1 FM. This is Alan Wagner and Susan Blake, your host of The Inner Page, a public service program. Thank you again for listening. Take care, stay safe, and have a great day.